Job 25, verse 1, the Bible said, "Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, Dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies, and upon whom doth not his light arise? How then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man, which is a worm." Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning to preach. We ask for liberty and power. We ask that you might be with our minds and help us to think clearly and say the right thing. Give us the right spirit and the right attitude. And Lord God, we will thank you for anything that you do. We ask that you speak to hearts, stir folks for God. We will thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Job asked a question in chapter 25, verse 4. How then can a man be just with God? What's a great question. Then he goes on to say, you know, considering who we are, we're like a worm. The stars aren't pure in his sight. How then can a man who is wicked, rebellious, how in the world can we ever be just before God? That's a great question. And people have grappled with it for 6,000 years. Every generation, sooner or later, most people come to a point and place in their life where they become conscious of God or the absence of God. And they wonder, how in the world can I be right? And that's what justified is. How can I be right with God? How can God accept me considering what I am, considering what I've done? And so we're going to deal with that question for a little while this morning. How can a man be justified with God? Now, there's a couple of questions I want to ask in addition to that in trying to answer it. And we're going to try and answer it from the Bible. You might want to get your Bible out and go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 3, 4, and 5, because we're going to spend a lot of time there. Job asked a question way back there, and Paul answers it in Romans chapter 3, 4, and 5, so that you and I know what it means to be justified, how to get justified, and who needs to be justified. So the first thing I want to think about is this. Do all men, do all people, does every man, does every woman need to be justified before God? Is there anybody that doesn't need it? No, there's not. Everybody needs to be justified before God. The Bible said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 9, "For all are under sin." Romans 3:19, all the world is guilty before God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 3:9, it's all. In 3:19, it's every. In 3:22, it says, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no difference between any of us when it comes to sin before God. Now, you can talk about cultural differences and racial differences and ethnic differences and linguistic differences. And in that sense, there's a tremendous difference among people. But before God, your Creator, there isn't any. God's no respecter of persons. He's concluded all under sin. If you're here this morning and you live and breathe, you have sinned against God Almighty. The Bible said, for the transgression of the law is sin. That is, if you've broken any of God's commandments, you are guilty before God. And if you're guilty, you are condemned already. Now, people get the idea. They say, well, I've never done this, and I've never done that. I never committed adultery. And, well, what have you done? Have you lied? Have you ever been selfish? Have you ever blasphemed God? Have you ever loved anything more than you love God? If you have, you've sinned against God.
You say, yeah, but that's not as bad as.
Well, let's do it this way. Let's pretend, y'all are good at that, aren't you? I mean, some of y'all pretending you're okay and you're not. Let's pretend that I've got me a chain hooked to that wall right there. And I'm going to get Mark to help me stretch it out because it's a big chain and it's heavy. And we're going to hook it to this wall right over here. And from that wall to that wall, there's 100 links in the chain. And every link is a commandment from God. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not curse your father or your mother. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. See? And all across here, we're going to hang commandments God has given. 100 of them, from that wall to that wall. Now, if you break one of those, the chain falls, and if the chain falls, you're guilty. And the punishment for breaking the chain is death. The wages of sin is death. Okay? Now, on this end over here, I've got, thou shalt not bear false witness. Over here, I've got, thou shalt not steal. Over here, I've got, thou shalt not commit adultery. You say, well, I never committed adultery, and I didn't steal. Well, did you ever tell a lie? Amen? Now, the truth is, it doesn't make any difference where we cut the chain. I can cut it way over here. I can cut it here. I can cut it up. I can go all the way to the wall and cut link number 100. And when I do, the chain's going to fall and hit the ground. The chain is broken. God's law has been transgressed. And somebody's guilty. So it doesn't make any difference where you broke it. The question is, did you break it? God said you did. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's none that seeketh after God. Do all men need to be justified? Yes, they do. That means if you're sitting here this morning, you need justification from God Almighty. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. You need it. Now, all men need to be justified before God. Well, question number two. What does it mean to be justified? Now, somebody said one time the word justified means just as if I had never sinned. Well, that is the end result. When a person is justified before God, it's as though they had never sinned. Now, they did sin. I want you to understand that. Jesus Christ never sinned. He's not as though He never sinned. He never sinned. When you get justified, it's as though you had never sinned. That is, God doesn't condemn you anymore. But the truth is, you did sin. Amen? Jesus Christ didn't need to be justified. He is the justifier. You needed to be justified. Now, but it actually means a lot more than that. I want to give you seven things that it means to be that seven things that are true when you've been justified. Seven things that are a blessing if you know them and understand them. Seven things found in the book of Romans about being justified that ought to bring joy to your heart if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And there's seven things here that if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you are still in your sins. You have never been justified. These things ought to draw in your heart. You ought to desire them. And by God's grace, we show you how you can have them. Let me give you these seven things quick as I can. Number one, what does it mean to be justified? Well, one, it means to be forgiven. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and blessed are they whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Romans 4, 7 and 8. Blessed is the man whose sins and iniquities are forgiven. Now, it's not a matter of I never was guilty. I was guilty. It's not a matter of are you innocent. You are not innocent. You're guilty. The thing to do is acknowledge your guilt. Amen? The thing that people want to stand before God and say, well, I've been a good man, or I've been a good woman, or I never did this, or I'm as good as so-and-so. The Bible said, comparing themselves with themselves, they became fools. Your comparison is not with another man. Your comparison is not with another woman. Your comparison is to God. And before God, you're guilty. Amen? You might be as good as any other person in this room, but you've got to remember you're in a room full of sinners. So you're looking to God. We've all sinned. We're all in trouble. So how do we get out of that mess? Well, we have to get forgiven. Have to get forgiven. I'm standing here this morning and I'm telling you, I'm a child of King and I am on my way to heaven. Amen. But I am not dumb enough to stand here and tell you I'm innocent. I was guilty. But I've been justified. I've been justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I have been forgiven. I came to the Lord and I confessed my sin, and He said, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm not an innocent man. I'm a forgiven man. I'm a justified man. And if you're here this morning, you're a child of the King, you've been forgiven for your sin. There come a time and a place in your life when you said, Lord, I am guilty. I deserve whatever you're going to give me. I deserve to die and go to hell. I've been a rebel. I've transgressed the commandments. I've done this and that. I'm a wicked person. Please forgive me. And when you did that, it's amazing. It's marvelous. When you said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, He did. He said, all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. God's in the forgiving business. Amen. Not only does it mean to be forgiven, it means to be saved from wrath. Romans 5:9. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Saved from wrath. Saved what wrath? The wrath of God. You ever read about that judgment over there in Revelation chapter 21? And I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat upon it, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And whosoever's name was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone day and night forever and ever. This is the second death. That's the wrath of God. That's the punishment or the wrath of God on sin. When you get justified, you get saved from that wrath. I'm never going to stand before the white throne of God. So why? I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been forgiven my sin. God doesn't have anything against me anymore. I've been saved from that wrath. When you get justified, you get forgiven. Ain't that a blessing? Say, forgiven for what? For everything. For everything. For everything. Say, preacher, what about past sins? All of them are forgiven. What about future sins? All they're already forgiven. What about present sins? They're forgiven. Listen, when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, all my sins and all your sins were in the future. But He died for the sins of the world, for all of humanity, for all time. His death, His sacrifice was for sin and is sufficient for all sin, for every man, everywhere, every time. It's an all-sufficient sacrifice. There wasn't anything that He didn't pay for. Now, you may not have the benefit of that, but it's a done deal. It's a complete transaction. I'm saved from the wrath of God. Number three, what does it mean to be justified? Well, it means to be forgiven. It means to be saved from wrath. And it means to be reckoned righteous. Romans chapter 4, verse 9. For we say that faith was counted to Abraham for righteousness. Now, it had to be accounted to him or imputed, that is, given to him, because he didn't have any of his own.
We just read in Romans 3:23 and 3:22, there is none righteous, no, not one. You're not righteous. A person who is righteous is a person who is right in everything. And who has always done everything right. Anybody here think you've done that? Somehow I didn't think so. So you're not righteous. But you need to be made righteous. Well, God, when you trust Christ as your Savior, imputes to you righteousness. He gives it to you as a free gift. Abraham wasn't righteous, but because he believed God, God counted it for righteousness. Amen? I'm not righteous, but when I receive Christ as my Savior, God counts it for righteousness. What He does, He takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ and gives it to me. Let me tell you a terrible thing. This is awful. Do you know that nobody that is guilty of sin can go to heaven? The honest truth is, God Almighty requires an absolutely perfect, sinless life to get to heaven. He does. God requires, God is holy. And God only has in heaven holy things. Nobody that's guilty of sin can go to heaven. Well, that just wiped out the whole crowd, didn't it? The only person that wasn't guilty of sin was Jesus Christ. The Bible said, tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ did no sin. Now, I only know one way to get a person who is guilty to a place where the guilty can't go. Somehow you've got to get them where they're not guilty. So that's what God did. God took His not guilty Son and took His righteousness and gave it to the guilty. So that when God sees you, He sees you as His Son. He sees you righteous. He sees you sinless. Now you're not, but it's been accounted to you, it's been reckoned to you because of faith in Jesus Christ. What about you? That's a blessing to me. I was wicked as hell before I got saved. I've been pretty wicked since I got saved. So it means to be reckoned righteous. Number four, it means to have peace with God. Now this is one of the great verses in the Bible. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. We have peace with God. We have peace with God. Do you understand what that means? That means that the fight between me and God is over. We're not fighting anymore. I'm not trying to do it my way. I'm not holding out. I just got down on my knees one night and said, Lord, I'm guilty. Have mercy. Save me for Jesus' sake. And boy, when I brought Jesus into it, it's all over with. Amen? Like a fellow one time said, he's teaching Sunday school class, and a little boy asked him, how you get to heaven? He said, well, son, he said, you've got to have 1,000 points to get to heaven. He said, well, I can do that. He said, okay. He said, well, give me 1,000 points. And the little boy said, well, he said, I go to church every Sunday. He said, that's 1 point. He said, I carry out the trash for my mama. He said, that's another point. So you got 2. He said, I do the best I can. He said, that's another point. He said, now you got 3. The little boy said, he said, I believe on Jesus. He said, that's another 997. Amen. Takes Jesus, buddy. Takes Jesus. When you have Jesus, you got all. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Boy, when God imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ to you, He sees you as He sees His Son. Holy, sinless, harmless, undefiled, righteous before God. And when He does that, you know what He gives you? Peace. Peace. Peace of mind. Peace of heart. Peace of my soul. Jesus, in my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, so give I. Gave me peace. Peace about what? Oh, peace about where I was going when I die. Peace about where I'm going when I die. He says, well, I hope I'm saved. Man, you're crazy. I want to know I am. I want to know where I'm going. I ain't going to wait till it's too late. That Bible said over there in Ecclesiastes, if a tree fall to the north or the south or to the east, whithersoever it falleth, there should it also lie. You die lost, you spend eternally lost. You better make sure you get saved before you check out. He said, well, we'll find out, or I'll take my chance. You're nuts. You're nuts. You're nuts. You better get saved today and know that you're saved. You better get that thing settled once and for all. I want to tell you something, boy. When you know that you know that you know, there's a sweet peace inside. Let them come on and preach hellfire and brimstone as hot as they want to. I'll throw them the kerosene. I'll give them a torch. Let them light the fire. I ain't going. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I got peace in my heart, buddy. I know my sins are forgiven. I know I'm a child of the King. I know where my home is going to be. Amen. I like what old Rex Harrison used to say. A fella pulled a .45, you know, and stuck it in his face and was going to shoot him. He said, go ahead. He said, you can't scare me with heaven. It means to be reckoned righteousness. It means to have peace with God. What does it mean to be justified? It means to rejoice in hope. Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Every Christian ought to be a rejoicing machine. Say, why? My sins are gone. Say, what are you so happy about, preacher? I'm going to heaven. That's what I'm happy about. And what are you rejoicing about? My sin debt's paid. Amen. Say, why are you so happy? Why are you jump up now? Why you make so much noise? Because Jesus Christ is my brother. God is my Father. I'm on my way to glory. I got a mansion reserved. I'm never going to smell the smoke or feel the heat of hell. I'm telling you, I've been saved by God's grace. I've been justified by the Lamb. And I got plenty. I got plenty to rejoice about. And no long faces for me. Now, you can mope around down here all you want to. I'm child of the King, buddy. I'm on my way to glory. I'm rejoicing in the hope that lies before me. Not only does it mean to have, to rejoice in hope, to be justified means to possess the love of God. Romans 5:5. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now there's two great things that God gave a believer besides His eternal life. When you get saved, He said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. But there's two other things God did for us that are just absolutely incomprehensible. They're unimaginable. Number one, God gave you a perfect Bible. God gave you a book that you can trust in everything. God gave you a book that you can hang on to that doesn't change, that doesn't falter, that doesn't have any errors, doesn't have any mistakes. Whatever that book says is the gospel truth out of the mouth of God Almighty Himself. I don't care if the whole world disagrees with that book is right. And for over 2,000 years, the best brains on our planet in every nation under God's big blue sky has tried to find some fault or some mistake or some error in that book. And here we are in the year 2002, and not one time, not one place has anybody ever found a mistake in that book. That's the most scrutinized book, most tested book, the most detested book that was ever printed. Nobody, nobody has ever been able to find a fault with it. Ain't that a blessing? And God left that for you as a guidebook. You say, well, I don't know what I ought to do. It's in the book. I don't know how I ought to behave. It's in the book. The answer to every question you've got in this life is in that book. Number two, not only did He give us a perfect Bible, He gave us the indwelling Holy Spirit. That Bible said, His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. You know what the Holy Spirit does for a believer? He pricks you, and He goads you, and He prompts you, and He leads you, and He guides you. You know what Paul said one time? The Holy Spirit said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. How about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's inside of you working, trying to conform you to the image of Christ. The Holy Spirit is inside of you to give you assurance of your salvation, to bear witness that you are a child of the King. The Holy Spirit is in you to quicken you, to open your mind, to give you understanding of the Scripture. That's the reason when you read that Bible, you ought to pray first. It's a spiritual book written by the Holy Spirit. If you've got the interpreter inside, you've got to say, help me. Open my eyes. Show me what's in there. And listen, the Holy Spirit will open that book and make it real to you. You say, well, I read my Bible and I don't get much out of it and it don't help me much and I don't understand it. What, did you pray first? Did you ask God to help you first? Or did you just plow into it like you do them dirty novels you read? Amen. To be justified means to possess the love of God. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. I love things and love people now I used to detest. You know what I didn't like when I was lost? I didn't like all you goody-goody two-shoes Christians. I didn't like you holy rollers. Y'all made me sick. I knew for sure every one of you is just a two-faced hypocrite. That's what unsaved people think. That's what I thought. I thought preachers were either lazy, or stupid, weak, or out to get all they could for as little as they could, you know. I thought all Christians were weak and unstable, had to have a crutch. I didn't have any respect for Christians. I didn't want to be around them. I didn't like their pious talk. I thought to myself, ain't nobody lives like that. Everybody lives like I live. I'm the normal. They're weirdos. Then I got saved. Amen. And now they're the weirdos. Everybody ought to live like we live. Amen. Everybody ought to believe what we believe. Amen. It's amazing. It's amazing. After I got saved, I loved different people. I learned to love the church. I learned to love church people. I still don't trust them, but I love them. What does it mean to be justified? It means to be reconciled to God. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. I've been reconciled to God. Listen, when you sinned against God, there's a gulf between you and Him. And when you've got sin in your life, and when you're not right with God, when you've never been forgiven, you're not comfortable in God's presence. You know why folks don't want to come to church? They always feel guilty. They always feel dirty. They always feel slippery or slimy. Because they're not comfortable in the presence of a holy God. And they're not usually comfortable in the presence of people they think are. The reason they don't like Christians is because they think you think you're better than them. Amen? And so, when you invite folks to church, they're almost always nervous and sweaty-palmed and all that, you know. And they're ready to bolt out the door because they're not comfortable here. The minute they get saved and get right, boy, they love it here. But until they do, they don't like this place. They don't like you much either. Amen? So why? Because there's a gulf between them and God. It needs to get reconciled. It's like this. Don't raise your hand. I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody. But you ever borrow money from anybody? And say, now listen, Guy says, when are you going to pay this back? He said, well, he said, this is Tuesday. He said, we get paid every 2 weeks. He said, next Friday. Not this Friday, but the next one. He said, I'll get you $100 back. Well, next Friday comes, and you get paid, but something else has come up, and you ain't got the money. Or you spent the money. Or you forgot about it. But you didn't pay the debt. Now, a couple days later, maybe it's Tuesday or Wednesday of the next week, and you're walking down the street, and here comes the dude you borrowed the money from. Isn't it amazing how you want to duck in one of them doors? You want to hide, you don't want to be seen. Amen? It's like, you know, when you're out in public and you're wearing your short shorts, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and the preacher comes by, and nobody wants to see me. They pretend the preacher's not there. Say, why? There's a gulf between us. Now, the longer that thing goes, the harder it is for you to face them. If it's been 6 months and you ain't paid that guy a dime, you didn't call him up and say, listen, I had a problem and something came up, but I'll get to you next week. You know, I mean, you just didn't say a word. You didn't give him the money. Now, you used to be buddies, used to be friends. I mean, I hope you're friends with somebody to loan you $100. Now you don't call him anymore. You don't go to see him anymore. Y'all haven't been anywhere together in a long time. And every time you see him, amen. Now there's a gulf between man and God. Man owes a debt he cannot pay. If you pay for your sin, you're going to die and go to hell. The wages of sin is death. Amen. So the best thing you can do is come into the presence of God, trembling and fearful, guilty as the devil himself, and fall down your face and say, Lord, I can't pay the debt. I don't have what it takes to pay the debt. Would you forgive it? And the Lord says, sure. I'm going to put it on the account of Jesus Christ. I'm going to let Him pay for it with His life. And you and I can be friends again. And the blood of Christ reconciles us to God. You ever been reconciled? Yeah, fella, you owed that money. Did you ever get around to paying it? Or did he ever corner you someplace and say, hey, listen, don't worry about it. It's only $10 or $100. Don't worry about it. I forgot about it a long time ago. I wrote it off already. But don't run next time you see me. Let's be friends. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Yeah. The next time you're walking down the street and there that guy is, you don't got to feel ashamed. You ain't got to go hide. You can walk right up and look him right straight in the eyeball. It's kind of hard with Mark, but I will. And no guilt, no fear. So why? Because we reconciled it. We worked it out. We got it fixed. When you come to Christ, we get everything that's between you and God reconciled. That's part of justification. When you get justified, all seven of those things take place. Ain't that a blessing? Everything that was wrong between you and God got fixed. And everything you needed to love God and live for God was given to you. Amen. I'm starting on second page now. I kind of like this. Now, here's the question. Who does God justify? Who? Will He justify you? Will He justify me? Well, the truth is, the Bible said in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, He justifieth the ungodly. So you can't ever get right with God until you find out you're not right. You can't ever get right with God as long as you're pretending you're a good fella. You really need to get guilty. The best thing that ever happened to some, or one of the best things that ever happened to anybody, was to find out that they're a sinner. Now, I mean, I don't mean just say the words. I mean find out down in your heart that you're a pretty wretched individual. That you don't have much character or integrity or anything. Why? Because God justifies the ungodly. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Don't you see who he died for? He died for the wicked. A man that's well doesn't need a physician. It's they that are sick that need a physician. We got a whole generation running around that they're pretending they're good and they're holy and they're this and they're that, and they're not any of those things. You're guilty before God. The thing to do is come to Christ and get it fixed. Who does God justify? The ungodly. How can He justify the guilty? How can God do that? Well, I'll tell you how. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. God can do it because He sent His Son to die in your place. If He hadn't, you'd have to die for yourself. If you die for yourself, you're going to spend eternity in hell. Just that simple. You're going to burn like a worm in a frying pan. Got it? Without Jesus Christ, you don't have a snowball's chance in hell. I mean, there ain't no hope for you. Not only in Romans chapter 3, verse 25 and 26. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus Christ. How can God do it? He does it by faith. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God justifies you from all things. It's by grace through faith. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God saves you. And until you do that, you're lost. You're lost. People say, well, I believe in God and I believe in the Bible. Listen, did you receive Him? Do you believe on Him as your Savior? Did you accept Him as your substitute? If you didn't do that, you're lost. You're lost. God doesn't want you lost. Romans chapter 5, verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Not gonna, not future, not down the road someplace. Already done. I have received the atonement. That somebody took atonement and they said, at one meant. That's what it means to be at one with God. It means to be reconciled. It means to be justified. Jesus Christ atoned or paid for our sins. How does God justify a man? Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. You know what the Bible said? It's so simple. It said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Can it get any simpler than that? God's got it fixed so that little youngins can get saved. Matter of fact, it's usually easier for kids to get saved than it is for grown-ups. Because you grown-ups want to be so intellectual. You want to be so philosophical. You want to rationalize things and analyze things and dissect things. Why don't you just shut up and trust Christ? Amen? Why don't you come like a little child and say, Lord, I'm guilty. I know I'm guilty. I broke Your law. I know I broke Your law. I deserve to go to hell. But I'm throwing myself on the mercy of court. I want to receive Christ as my Savior. God will save you. All that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. God's got it fixed. You can get saved if you want to. It's not hard. And boy, when you get saved, God will turn your life around. He'll justify you. Now, the last question is this. Can a man be justified by simply believing? The answer to that question is yes. Romans 3:26. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. What do you have to do to get saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See how simple it is? To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. There's not a person in this room that has to leave here lost today. God not willing that any should perish. The Bible said, God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God wants you to get saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants you saved. If you die and go to hell, it's going to be your own fault. Not mine. I've done the best I know how. It's not God. He sent His Son. He wrote a Bible. He sent you a preacher. He got you to hear the message. God's done His part. I've done mine the best I know how. Next move is yours. The question is this. What are you going to do with what you heard? Well, preacher, I'm going to think about it. Yeah, you talk yourself out of it. Well, I'm just not ready yet. When are you going to be ready? You've been waiting 20, 30, 40 years. Oh, I'm going to do it one of these days. Which one of these days? You've had a million one of these days, and you ain't done it yet. The truth is, the longer you wait, the harder it is to do. That's the reason the Bible said, today, 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 today. If you harden not your heart, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You're a fool to put off to tomorrow what you can do today if you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You could be dead this afternoon. You may live 100 years. You may live 60 seconds. Eternity is forever. If you die without Christ, that's where you'll spend it. Why? Why? Take a chance. Why not come and trust Christ today? Why not come and let the blood of Jesus Christ justify you before God? Before Him. Sister Sue, I want you to come play this morning. Sue's going to play "Just As I Am" without one plea. "But that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. I come." If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you need to come. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let your pride keep you from it. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how religious folks think you are. If you know you're not saved, if there's any doubt, you got to come get it fixed. You got to come get justified. What's the greatest thing in the world? Have the peace of God in your heart. To know that you're a child of the King. Have all the things that come with salvation. What a blessing. What a blessing. To put away all your guilt and all your shame. To be able to come before God and not have to bat an eye or hide your face. Not to feel guilty or sweaty when somebody preaches hard. What a blessing. You ought to come get saved this morning. You ought to come get saved. Some of you saved folks here. Some of y'all are saved on your way to the city. And I know you are. But you've got youngins today. You've got mamas and daddies and aunts and uncles. You've got close friends. You've got buddies you work with that aren't. What are we doing to reach them? What are we doing? Are we praying for them? Do we pass out tracts? Do we give them cassette tapes? Do we invite them to church? What are we doing? We need to get them justified. We need to get them to God. We need to get them washed in the blood of the Lamb. But if you're here in this room this morning, you're lost. Boy, it's a big, great time to come get it fixed. Put the peace of God down in your heart. Put a new song down in your heart. Put a smile on your face that you can't explain and the world can't figure out. You ought to come. So you're going to play another stanza or two. We're not going to sing or anything. If God spoke to your heart this morning, if you're not absolutely sure you're saved, you ought to come. Don't sit there and fight it off. Don't let the devil win. Say, well, preacher, people will think this and people will think this. We don't care what they think. What does God think? We're concerned about where you're going to go when you die. We're talking about eternity here this morning. We're not talking about the next week or 10 days or next 3 or 4 years. We're talking about forever. We're talking about forever. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're saved, but you ain't been living for God. You're not close to God like you used to be. You're not in church like you used to be. You don't have the joy you used to have. Maybe you ought to come on, gang, and get it fixed up. Get it reconciled. Get close to God again. Let Him put His big old arm of love around you. For the first time in a long time, know that He really cares. Boy, it's a blessing to be right with God. It's a blessing. Father, we thank You now for Your goodness and Your mercy. I pray, Lord God, that You'd speak to hearts.